Hey everyone, welcome back to S3 Podcast, episode 38, Mystery of Somerton Man, the Taman Sud case. I hope everyone is having a great weekend. I hope you have a lovely bank holiday weekend. Hope you have plans to spend with family, friends, etc. Obviously still keeping within the social distancing rules. But yeah, let's get right into it. Also, before I carry on, do follow us on Instagram at S3Podcast_. Let us know what other topics you would like us to discuss. Any disappearances, any true crime, any suggestions you may have, then do follow us over there. Without further delay, let's get right into it. On December 1st, 1948, in Adelaide, Australia, a young jockey, Neil Day, was riding his horse on Somerton Beach. It was around 6:30 a.m. when he and his riding mate discovered the body of a clean-shaven man wearing a brown suit. Although the person was clearly dead, he was laying on his back against a wall and seemed to be staring at the sky. There was no identification on the body, thus officials never identified the man or the cause of death. Then, 4 months later, they found a clue. It was a piece of paper with the words Taman Sud, meaning the end. This is the case of the Somerton Man, also known as the Taman Sud case. On the night of November 30th, 1948, at least two groups of passerby saw a man who looked like the dead man the jockeys found the following morning. He had also sat in the same place that Somerton Man lay. The witness said that they did not get a very good look at him, but it was the same man from what they could tell. Passerby saw him around 7 p.m. By 7:38 o'clock, there was no discernible movement. One witness said he had wondered if the man was alive, but assumed he was drunk. Evidence found at the scene. The Somerton Man wore a nice suit which pointed to at least a marginal amount of prosperity. An expensive British cigarette, not from Australia, lay behind his ear. Another half-smoked cigarette of the same brand nestled between his cheek and collar. Interestingly, a pack of those cigarettes placed in the case of a cheaper brand was in his pocket. Additionally, investigators found a few more items in his pockets. A book of matches, a used bus ticket to Glenelg, and an unused train ticket to Henley Beach. All of the tags on the man's clothing were removed, making identification difficult. He was not wearing a hat and his shoes were reportedly suspiciously clean. Another very mysterious piece of evidence was found much later. In a hidden pocket in the man's pants, this piece of evidence was the backside of the piece of paper was blank, and the evidence they found was a scrap of paper cut from a book that said Taman Sud. But police traced it to the poetry book Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam by Edward Fitzgerald. A code in the Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam, after some searching, police were able to find the very book from whence the Taman Sud words had come. a man had found the book discarded in the back seat of his car, with apparently no explanation as to how it had come to be there. At the back of the book was the following sequence in pencil. Police believed it to be a code, but it has yet to be cracked. The strike through on the second series makes it look like a list as well. Also found in the back of the book was the phone number of a woman who allegedly lived and worked near the place where the Somerton man turned up. Her identity has been protected and her name given only as Justin. Justin once had a copy of the Rubaiyat and police tracked it to a man she had given it to years before. He still had the book and it was not unusual in any way. Police dismissed the woman and man as possible witnesses. They also dismissed that the book, given the unclear evidence that it had anything to do with the Taman Sud case. Leads in the Taman Sud case. Now, just before we continue, for a man who appeared to be dead, the body was not moved, the body was still in pristine condition, if that's the right word you can use to describe how a body looks. His shoes were still clean. There was not a trace. And that to me is a bit strange, because you would at least have expected from a dead body for there to be marks, wounds, any identifiable traces. But apparently there weren't any. During the time that police were investigating the scant few leads, numerous people claimed that the Somerton man was missing persons that they knew of. In every case, police were able to ascertain that the man was not the missing man in question. In some instances, missing people showed up at the police station to show that they were not the Somerton man. The autopsy on the Somerton man showed something quite interesting. There was no evidence of the cause of death. The man was 5'11", with green eyes and blondish red hair. He seemed in excellent health, save for congestion and bleeding in several organs. He was athletic, possibly a dancer or a runner, but not a labourer, as evidenced by the pristine condition of his hands. So, from an autopsy, they were able to ascertain that he may have been a dancer or a runner. So he took very good care of himself, physically. Yet, they could find nothing else other than what they found. The doctor who performed the autopsy said that it looked like a particularly dangerous poison that was extremely difficult to identify in an autopsy. He also said that it could have been a natural death, though he did not find the underlying cause. Either way, there was no way of knowing whether the man was suicidal or not. So even if they had found poison in his system, it did not make it a murder. In the end, no cause of death was determined. Now obviously, we have to understand that at this time, you know, performing an autopsy was probably not the most, you know, beneficial. You know, as the advancements of autopsies in general wasn't at their best. So, the identity of the Somerton Man. Police did suggest that they found his lack of ID to be evidence of a suicide. He had very little money on him and no wallet, which would be a better indication of suicide. But he could just as easily have brought little money with him on a day trip. That idea was squashed when evidence that he was certainly not on a local jaunt came in a month and 2 weeks after his body was found. The Adelaide train station gave a suitcase to the police that the man had left in their coach room the day before he died. It should be mentioned that the time of death was given as 2 a.m. The suitcase contained a suit jacket, stenciling brush pants with sand in the cuff, screwdriver, scissors with sharpened points, thread, pyjamas, underwear, dressing gown, shaving utensils, slippers, knife and a laundry bag. The only labels on the clothing were the name T. Keen, spelled Keen in one instance, and dry cleaning numbers. So, that for me takes away suicide. Because why would a man still have his belongings with him in a suitcase whilst he's trying to make sure that people recognise him? I'm a little stumped, to be honest. If I have any opinions, I'll obviously voice them. But a suitcase was given to the police that the man had left in the coat room the day before he died. So, I'm just thinking out loud. The time of death was given as 2 a.m. So, let's say he got into Adelaide, you know, at say, I don't know, midnight. I don't know the facts of this. So let's just say, give an example. Let's say you got into Adelaide at midnight, and he put his suitcase in the coat room, or he went to a hotel. He stayed for a few hours, then he left. He went back to the train station, put his suitcase back into the coat room because he thought better to leave it there so that when he comes back, he's already at the train station so he can pick it up. And so he went for a walk, probably something to eat, that sort of thing. And so between then and when obviously the witnesses found him, he was obviously not alive. He was clearly dead. He wasn't moving. So what could have happened between when he arrived and the hours between prior to his death and to his death? I honestly couldn't really give you a reason because it seems strange. And obviously, at this point in time, I could not find any updates on the case. And so, it's still unsolved to this day. The only update I could find And again, I don't know if this is true, but apparently they are going to exhume the body to try and extract DNA. But again, I don't know if that is true. But that is all. That's all I could find regarding an update. But closing the Taman Sud case. A thorough investigation turned up no kings in the area with a connection to the case. The jacket, however, led straight to America. British cigarettes and an American jacket made this man look more and more like a murdered James Bond. Unfortunately, they were unable to trace Somerton Bond's jacket to an exact location in the United States. In the end, the Taman Sud case boils down to two things: a ton of evidence that leads nowhere, and a lack of evidence that borders on the suspicious. Missing clothes tags. Even the place of death is uncertain. This is because some feel that if the Somerton man had died there, there would be a biological exclusion around his body. Everything that came up about this case made it more mysterious. All these decades later, and it still does not make sense. That is the thing. That's what I think has been stumping a lot of people. Is because you would expect from a person who has unfortunately passed on, whether due to foul play or in terms of suicide, you would still expect some kind of excretion from your body, whether it's fluid, DNA, that sort of thing. But in this situation, there was none of that. The body was in pristine condition. He was still wearing his suit. His shoes were clean. Yet there were no clothing tags. There were nothing. So all they have, or they had, was a suitcase with clothes, utensils, that sort of thing, which is what you would expect if you're going away for, I don't know, a day. But other than that, they have found nothing. So I'm stumped. Do you have any suggestions? What are your thoughts? Let me know. Follow us on Instagram at S3podcast_. Let us know what you think. And again, if there's any cases out there that you feel that no one's ever, you know, talked about or discussed, then again, do let me know. But yeah, that will be it for today's episode. Again, I want to wish everyone a great day. I hope you spend your bank holiday with friends, family, at social distance. And yeah, don't forget, this will be going, I'm recording this on Sunday afternoon at 12:35. This will be going up at midnight Monday morning, so that will be 4 p.m. PST. And yeah, I hope to, you know, see you in the next, not see you, but I hope to bring you another episode of a disappearance or true crime on Wednesday's episode. But until then, have an amazing day, enjoy the weather, and above all, stay safe.